why I'm a hairy guy. I'm hairy noon and
nighty night night.
My hair is a fright. I'm hairy high and low, but don't ask me why,
'cause he don't know.
It's not for lack of bread, like the Grateful Dead.
Darling,
give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxen. Give me down to there,
hair.
Shoulder length longer.
Hair.
Here, baby, there, mama,
everywhere, daddy, daddy, hair.
Grow it, show it, long. Think it caught in the trees, give a home for the fleas in my hair. A home for the fleas, a hive for the buzzing
bees,
a nest for birds. There ain't no words for the beauty, the splendor, the wonder of my hair. Grow it, show it, long as I can grow it, my hair.
I want it long, straight, curly, fuzzy, snaggy, shaggy, ratty, matty. Oily, greasy, fleecy, shiny, steaming, gleaming, flaxen, waxen.
Knotted, polka dotted, twisted, beaded, braided, powdered, flowered, and confetti, mangled, tangled, spangled,
and spaghetti.
Oh, say.
Everybody, this is Tabitha, and you are listening to another edition of White Wellness. Today is June 5th, 2020, broadcasting out of New York for the American National Radio Network. That song right there was The Cow Sills with Hair, way back in 1979. And the reason I decided to play that song for today's broadcast is because, well, something is going on that I noticed last night whilst I was on Twitter. Now, people who are bowing down to this new Talmudic religion, the worship of criminal blacks, are now being encouraged, especially our women, to shave their head. Yes, you heard that right. This I cannot make up. I was rather horrified when I saw this last night. Honestly, this is one of the most horrifying things I could possibly imagine someone to do. I've never done this myself. I have a history of, well, getting my first haircut at the age of 16 and asking if it was going to hurt. That's a true story. So I want to talk a little bit about this PSYOP that's going on right now that's mainly affecting our people, our women, as well as talk about the power of hair, the beauty of hair, and the spirituality of hair. So the majority of this broadcast is going to focus on real beauty tips, not the crud that you're going to read in any of these Zio beauty or female magazines on the market. I would suggest not reading any of those if you currently are. They're a waste of your time. So I really want to focus firstly on this PSYOP that's going on and then talk a bit about hair and how we can take care of our hair and how this is very much a spiritual antenna. So let me get to the images that I found first. Oh, and I should also mention this. We have a full moon today. It is the strawberry moon, and that will be occurring at 3:12 p.m. That's right. So let's find these images that I have first for this. I'll go to my picture file right here. Okay, so the first image I happened to see on Twitter last evening was something on someone's profile, and I'm trying not to inundate myself with what I believe to be MK Ultra. That's what's pretty much going on with a lot of these images. It's extremely demoralizing. I think it's meant to make us feel powerless, hopeless, helpless. It's part of a Talmudic humiliation ritual. So someone posted this on Twitter, an individual that I follow by the name of Snow Duchess, @SnowDuchess1. And she has written, "American white women have officially lost their minds. Ladies, scroll through post. I'll die first. My hair is my strength." And here they show a picture of two white ladies who have shaved their head. Go bald for BLM. Bald like me. Go bald for BLM. And that's the hashtag that's now trending all over Twitter. I've even seen some men, some white men taking part in this action. And I was able to find most of the best information in regards to this PSYOP over at a 4chan thread, actually, which was archived. So you know that it just happened last night and the thread was immediately archived. They don't want people understanding the psychological and spiritual ramifications of something like this. They just want them to think that they're doing the right thing. They're virtue signaling. If you thought driving around in the costume in your vehicle was virtue signaling, well, now you got to shave your head and then put the costume on. So here's a bit more of it. This was found over at 4chan. They show a woman kneeling down in what looks like a shower. You can see a subway tile behind her. She's got a buzzer, like a lot of, you know, guys will use to buzz their hair. And I would recommend that nobody cut their hair, whether you are male or female. Why? Why would you do it? I don't think it makes any sense whatsoever. So here is this post, and this was just from last night. Get hashtag go bald for BLM trending on Twitter and Instagram. The idea is to get women, particularly white women, to shave their heads for BLM. Guilt them into getting rid of their straight, quote, white hair to show, quote, solidarity with black women. Another image I have, and this is of someone who doesn't appear to be white. She appears to be of mixed race, I would say, just by looking at the picture of this individual. She's probably got a bit of the trifecta going on, a little bit of Asian, a little bit of black, a little bit of white. And this person tweets this, straight, quote, white hair is a luxury many POCs, or people of colors, don't get to experience. Show your support. Hashtag go bald for BLM. Hashtag BLM. Hashtag all lives matter. So I'm going to destruct this tweet, or deconstruct rather, or destruct as well, this tweet. Okay, that is true. Many people who aren't white don't have straight hair. There are many whites that don't have straight hair. I know plenty of whites who have curly hair, ringlets, wavy. Straight hair tends to be really mostly a white trait, although you do see straight hair on Asians, and you do see it on the Dravidian Indians, right? Actually, most of the time, the wigs that are made with human hair that not just blacks buy, but many people buy, whether they had, you know, chemotherapy in triple parentheses or not, those wigs are made not from white hair. They're typically made from Dravidian hair, which tends to be thicker than white hair and be like heavier. So saying that we should get rid of our natural hair because it's a luxury that non-whites don't get to experience, that whole sentence is built around the idea that whoever controls the marketing in this world or in this country, and we know that that's Jews, they market an image to non-whites to make them feel foul about themselves and want to look like us. That's wrong. No matter what your race is, no matter what your hair is, you should embrace your natural texture. It's just as foolish as a white person who has very curly hair to try to fake that all the time, to use straightening treatments, to go to the salon and waste money and toxify their systems, to dye your hair. Your hair looks the way it is because That's the way nature intended for your hair to look. When I was younger, I used to wish that my hair was big with curly ringlets, right? Or I used to wish that my hair was blonde. I don't have either of those things going on. I have very straight, light brown hair. Now, I love my hair, but when I was younger, probably like a lot of people, I wish that my hair looked different. Everyone should be able to enjoy and embrace the way their hair looks. If you don't grow straight, quote, white hair, embrace what you have. That's what it's all about. I mean, and it's clear, like I've just said, that the enemy is marketing all of these white hairstyles to non-whites, which is absolutely ridiculous, and it's giving them a complex, and then they're shooting it back at us, not knowing that the enemy is marketing it to them. So if you have hair that isn't straight, love it, no matter what it is. Love your hair. Love yourself. And here's another image that I found. Let's see. Here it is. Okay, this was the most extreme one. And this is a picture that looks like it could be a man. It's a picture of someone from the back, and they have a buzzer to their head, and they're shaving their head. From the look of the neck and the size of the skull, it looks like it could be a guy. Oftentimes it's harder to tell, you know, these days if someone's a guy or a girl. You never know these days anyway. But here is, I think, the most extreme image that I found in regards to this go bald for BLM. Did you know all African slaves had to shave off all body hair, including females? And I don't even know if that's true, but we over here at the American National Radio Network, we know who ran the transatlantic slave trade. It was not our people, it was Jews. And I really wish that more people, not just our people, but I really wish that Black people knew that too, because then they could direct their energy somewhere else. This picture goes on to say, this is also white supremacy. There is no excuse. So anything the enemy doesn't like, for a while it was anti-Semitism, or, you know, you were a neo-Nazi. Now they're back to using the white supremacy thing, right? Because they're really trying to create that big racial divide. So they say this is also white supremacy. There is no excuse. White women, shave your hair. Go bald for BLM. And I've seen many pictures in the last 12 hours or so of a lot of women shaving their heads and posting pictures saying, like, all my ancestors were racist. I'm getting rid of my hair to stand with BLM. I mean, this is just really an insane leg of this agenda. I was horrified when I first saw the pictures that I saw last night about that. Just really, really crazy stuff. And of course, people are now, I saw something that kind of flipped it back in the enemy's face, and it said, someone tweeted, and I retweeted this, fight racism by becoming a skinhead, because oftentimes a skinhead, right? And there's a lot of ties to Jamaican culture with the ska and the reggae culture with the whole skinhead thing. So it isn't necessarily a, quote, white supremacist or, quote, neo-Nazi thing. They want you to think that via the Hollyweird movies such as American History X, right, with Edward Norton, or the New Zealand film Romper Stomper with Russell Crowe. So they want you to think that. I mean, does anyone know in their real life anyone walking around that has that, quote, skinhead look? So they're getting white women to fight, quote, white supremacy and racism by turning them into a Hollyweird neo-Nazi by shaving their head and becoming skinheads, when there's a lot of Black roots or African roots with that whole, quote, skinhead culture. It is absolutely a mind-zoggling level of MK Ultra and psychological programming going on right now. So enough of that. I think most people can probably see that this is just a sickening psyop, to say the least. Now I want to move into more palatable, more appetizing, more uplifting information for our people. And I want to talk about the spiritual power of hair. And this is very important. This is something that I think I've perhaps talked about in the past, a while back on a broadcast, but this is more important now than ever, given the tumultuous nature of our world. So most of this information is coming from Kundalini sources. They do not cut their hair also people who practiced the Sikh religion, which was kind of born out of Hinduism, most of those people being some type of, you know, Dravidian race, they also don't cut their hair. That goes for men and women. The same thing with people who were Kundalini yogis. And by no means do you have to wear one of those turbans if you are a Kundalini yogi. Some do, some don't. Some say that it actually protects your hair and is like a good, like, spiritual shield. But of course, that is your choice. What I really want to focus on is just about hair, about the power of hair, the spirituality of hair, the beauty of hair. And this goes for men and women. This is not just a broadcast for the ladies. This is for all of us. And also, I want to go through some tips on how to keep our hair nice, because most of the stuff that they're telling us via the media, via the Zio magazines, well, this is like the worst stuff for your hair. And of course, they're promoting and shilling a diet, which, well, will make your hair fall out. So I'm also going to talk a little bit about that as well at the end of the broadcast. So to start out, here is an article from the 3HO organization. I don't endorse this organization. They shill for a lot of stuff like pride and anti-racism and stuff like that. But regardless, they have some good information. And 3HO stands for Healthy, Happy, and Holy. So this article starts out by saying, all about hair, yogi style. And here it starts out with a quote by Yogi Bhajan. He was a Dravidian who brought Kundalini yoga, which is considered the mother of all yoga, to the West, or to America, in 1969, the same year that that Cow Sills song that I play at the beginning of the broadcast came out. And here's what he has to say. Our hair fashions might be just a trend, but if we investigate, we may find that we have been depriving ourselves of one of the most valuable sources of energy for human vitality. And of course, through the trends, they always kind of promote stuff like the bob, the pixie cut, right? And for a while, if you think about it, ever since like going back to the flappers, right, of the 1920s, they were promoting very much a short coif for the ladies. And then I think really throughout the 60s and the 70s is when you saw a resurgence of the long hairstyles, kind of like with the hippie generation and things like that. And then I think now you kind of see a bit of everything. But for a while, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and even the early 60s with models like Twiggy and the whole mod thing, you very much saw short hairstyles, whether they were pixie or bobs or just kind of like cropped cuts. Many of the bombshell people of the golden era of film from the 40s and 50s, like Marilyn Monroe and Jane Mansfield, the people who had more of the curvy hourglass figure with the full breasts and the voluptuous hips, they typically had shorter hair. So they've been promoting this idea of short hair being glamorous for a long time. And not to say that women can't look good or look hot with short hair, but I think that everybody looks better with long hair, and I think a lot of men feel the same way. So back to the article. Consider the possibility that the hair on your head is there to do more than just look good. Man is the only creature who grows longer hair on his head as he grows into adulthood. Left uncut, your hair will grow to a particular length and then stop all by itself at the correct length for you. From a yogic perspective, hair is an amazing gift of nature that can actually help raise the Kundalini energy, our creative life force, and we all have this in our body regardless of who we are, which increases vitality, intuition, and tranquility. And here's a bit about cut hair. Long ago, people in many cultures did not cut their hair because it was a sign of who they were. There were no salons. Often, when people were conquered or enslaved, their hair was cut as a recognized sign of slavery. And remember that line right there and think about what's happening right now with this whole go bald for BLM hashtag. It was also understood that this would serve as a punishment and decrease the power of those enslaved. The bones in the forehead are porous and function to transmit light to the pineal gland, which affects brain activity, as well as the thyroid and the sexual hormones. Cutting bangs, which cover the forehead, impedes the process. When Genghis Khan conquered China, he considered the Chinese to be very wise, intelligent people who would not allow themselves to be subjugated. He therefore required all women in the country to cut their hair and wear bangs, because he knew this would serve to keep them timid and more easily controlled. And of course, when you have bangs, you're kind of covering that area right in between the eyebrows, the Ajna chakra, which is considered the spot for the third eye chakra. So there's definitely something behind this for sure. And I'll interject here by saying that the eyebrows, something that ladies usually tend to get waxed or you know, plucked or threaded. And that was something that I actually was doing before the pandemic, believe it or not. Not doing it often, but doing it here and there. I used to get the threading done at a Dravidian salon many years ago, but I found that I preferred the waxing more, you know, in my later years or more recent years. But I haven't done that since the whole pandemic or Oyid AI occurred. And well, I don't think I'm going to do it again. So here's a bit about the eyebrows. And this also comes from the same website, the Three Ho Foundation. The eyebrows control the deep analytical working of the brain and should never be plucked or otherwise disturbed. And oftentimes people will also say that's true of all the hair, not just you know, the hair on one's head and one's eyebrow hair. So that would constitute into one's body hair, legs, arms, underarms, genitals. Am I suggesting that people don't shave that? That's their own preference, personally. That's not something that I'm doing right now in my life personally. But if that's your thing and you don't want to shave that, by all means do it. Plenty of kundalinis don't do that. I actually met a gal a while ago who didn't do it. She didn't shave anything. And she was Hungarian, very tall, blonde, a beautiful woman. And she had hair on her legs and her arms and her underarms. And it didn't affect anything in regards to her attractiveness at all. And I'll also mention this in regards to laser hair removal. This is something that's become very popular. Oftentimes it's marketed to non-whites who tend to have more body hair or to whites that have more body hair. So a while ago, about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I decided to get some laser hair removal on my body. I am not a hairy person in any regards, but I regret doing it. I'm not happy that I did it. I'm not like, you know, super, super duper upset. It hasn't ruined my life or anything like that, but it made me more photosensitive, right? So now on my right hand, especially, I have a couple of like spots that look like freckles, which I think are rather unsightly. It's a bit bumming for me. Like I said, it hasn't destroyed me or anything like that, but this is not something that you want to do. This is just something that I've learned through something that I've done. And I mean, like I said, I'm not someone who has a lot of body hair. I was really the kind of person who sometimes would have like a bit of like, you know, very slight peach fuzz on my arms. And I would back in the day use something called a depilatory, like Nair, which is just, ugh, disgusting. Probably some women listen to the broadcast know what I'm talking about. It's this gross white cream that you put on your arms that smells absolutely disgusting, and it dissolves the hair. So I was caught up in that for a while in my earlier years. And I did this whole hair removal thing, I guess about 6 or so years ago, but I would not recommend it to anybody, because now I have a couple of these funny spots on my hand, which I don't like. And there are some methodologies in regards to what I can do to dissolve them. I've heard lime juice is a good thing to do. Just taking in, of course, more raw fats is always good too, to strengthen the skin. I'm not going to shield myself from the sun and become a biophobic vampire, but just a little side story as to why I don't think things like that are good. Back to the text. As tribes and societies are conquered, cut hair became so prevalent that the importance of hair was lost after a few generations, and hairstyles and fashion grew to be the focus. And of course, think about how much money people spend on their hair, right? A lot of people spend a lot of money on their hair. I've never really been a kind of person that has done that. I grew up with really not those values. I grew up with parents that didn't cut their hair. Nobody really cut their hair in my family, so I really didn't grow up with those values. But to a lot of people, they spend a lot of money on cutting it, on changing the texture of it, on dyeing it, all these styling products, all this time, all this, you know, flat ironing, blow drying, all of this stuff. What a waste. I saw a Chris Rock movie a while back called Good Hair, and I was just really surprised. It was all about blacks and how much blacks spent on their hair, and I was like, damn. And they showed some black women that were actually just dating men just so they could pay for their hair, to get their, quote, hair did, as some of them say. And I was just like, I would never, first of all, I would never date someone just to use them for their money, but certainly it wouldn't be for my hair. I mean, I just thought it was really wild, but so many people have this insecurity about their hair that the media, the Zio media, puts out there. And that's not fair or not cool. Your hair should be part of your power, part of your beauty, and you should work with its natural texture. Like a while ago, when I was a teenager, I thought dreadlocks were cool. So I bought this pomade at a flea market, and I decided I was going to give myself one dreadlock. Well, it didn't really turn out that well for me because, well, I'm white and I have straight hair. So it, and not like that texture that would take to a dreadlock. So all I had was knots and grease in my hair. But for people like, let's say, blacks, whose hair naturally will go into a dreadlock or a cornrow, they should focus on those natural styles, which look fantastic on them, as opposed to being brain-zoggied by the Zio media and trying to make their hair look like our hair. That doesn't work for anybody. Back to the text. The science of hair was one of the first technologies given by Yogi Bhajan when he came to America. He says, when the hair on your head is allowed to attain full, mature length, then phosphorus, calcium, and vitamin D are all produced and enter the lymphatic fluid and eventually the spinal fluid through the two ducts on the top of the brain. The ionic change creates more efficient memory and leads to greater physical energy, improved stamina, and patience. And I'm remembering a time in my life, probably about 4 or so years ago. And I was actually doing that thing that was trendy at the time, where I was shaving the back of my head and the sides. And at the time, I was doing a lot of hot yoga. And it kind of felt good not to have those like wispy little baby hairs in the back, like dripping down you when you're covered with sweat. But I have to say that was a time where I felt spiritually confused in my life. And I didn't put it together at the time that what I was doing was leading or exacerbating or acting as a catalyst for this spiritual confusion. But once I stopped doing it, and it was a period of it growing out and things like that. But once I stopped doing it, I really felt like I retained more of my innate spirituality. And that's not really a good look, too. Looking back, it's a bit of a dyke look or a lesbian look. Not that I looked like that, because, well, I'm rather not dykey or anything to that effect. But that's really like, I usually picture someone like a dyke with like a buzz cut. And not that it was a whole buzz cut, it was just the back of my hair. Back to the text. Yogi Bhajan explained that if you choose to cut your hair, you not only lose the extra energy and nourishment, but your body then must provide a great amount of vital energy and nutrients to continually regrow the missing hair. In addition, hairs are the antennas that gather and channel the sun energy or prana, also known as chi or vril, to the frontal lobes, the part of the brain you use for meditation and visualization. These antennas act as conduits to bring your greater qualities of subtle cosmic energy. It takes approximately 3 years from the last time your hair was cut for a new antenna to form at the tips of the hair. And now here is a bit about Kundalini hair care. I'm just taking a sip of goat kefir. This is really good stuff. My first time having this. And my breakfast this morning so far has been goat kefir and some, first time I had raw bison liver before. So that's what I've eaten thus far today. And today is a food prep day in the Tabitha household. And I'm making a big pot of chicken stock, which about every 2 weeks or so, I make a big pot of chicken stock. I usually use any random bones that I happen to have left over from roasts. Sometimes I'll throw in a beef marrow bone or two if I have that. Just adds a little bit more vitality. I prefer the chicken stock over the ruminant stocks, like the beef stocks or the elk stocks and things like that. And I also have some chicken feet in there, so I'll get that real wiggle to the broth. And then throughout the weeks, I use that and I make delicious meals from it. So it's always good to have a day where you kind of prep some food for the week. I don't like any of the chicken stocks on the market. They all taste poor. They all add vegetables to it, and I just want a clean slate because I'm going to use it for something, whether it be more of a Western recipe or more of an Eastern recipe. I like to have that clean slate. And oftentimes they add all types of unsavory additives. So here I am, back to the text, Kundalini hair care. In India, a rishi is known as one who coils his or her hair up to the crown of the head during the day to energize the brain cells and then combs it down at night. And a rishi, or the word rishi, I should note, is an anagram for the word Irish. And I've mentioned this before on other broadcasts. I'll mention it here for newcomers. The roots of the Kundalini or Hinduism, which is originally Vedic, has Irish, you know, some people say Celtic roots. This is definitely an Aryan way of life, for lack of a better word, with religion. I don't like to use the word religion because to me, religion denotes anything that, well, takes away from your natural inclination. So let's just call it a way of life or the natural way, spirituality. A rishi knot energizes your magnetic field, your aura, and stimulates the pineal gland in the center of your brain. And Yogi Bhajan goes on to say, the activation of your pineal results in the secretion that is central to the development of higher intellectual functioning as well as higher spiritual perception. So what do you think is going to happen to a person who's eating a vegetableless diet, who's cutting their hair often or shaving it, and then engaging in this fapping culture? This is going to affect their entire nervous system. Everything is going to be affected, and there's a high reason why the enemy promotes all of those things, gives our people free pornography, tells our people to go plant-based, tells our people to cut their hair because it's trendy. Don't fall for any of it. During the day, the hair absorbs solar energy, but at night it absorbs lunar energy. Keeping the hair up during the day and down at night aids in this process. Braiding your hair at night will help your electromagnetic field balance out from the day. And here's a wee bit about split ends. Loose, scattered hair can develop split ends. Instead of trimming them and losing your antenna, Yogi Bhajan recommends applying a small amount of almond oil to your hair overnight so that it can be absorbed before you wash in the next morning, keeping your hair coiled on your crown and protected with a head covering during the day will help your antennas heal. And this kind of reminds me of those guys many, many years ago in our culture who had what's called the Swabian knot. I think they were Germanic or Teutonic people who had that knot. So the idea of that whole man bun, they're kind of promoting it now as like some hipster type of like a really faggy thing. It's not. It's just the people who were doing it who are falling for that faux lumberjack look, they're faggy. If you have long hair, see your experience is different when it is clean and coiled at your crown or down and loose. And there's definitely different energy with wearing your hair up or down. I should also interject and say this, that you never want to tightly put your hair up in any type of device, whether it be a hair elastic or whatever it is, because you will end up losing hair. You will end up actually pulling hair out at the root and people will experience hair loss from that. Some people do that as they get older because they think it makes their face look younger because it's actually kind of like pulling up the scalp. So it acts as kind of like a brow lift of some sort. But if you really want to look good, you're better off practicing facial yoga and eating a lot of raw fat and raw meat. That will keep your face looking young, not trying to force your hair and your scalp to be pulled up. Here's a bit about wet hair. 1 year after winter solstice, when Yogi Bhajan was sitting in our living room with wet hair, he explained that he was drying it before putting it up in order to avoid a headache. When you put your hair up wet, it tends to shrink and tighten a bit and even break as it dries. A better idea is to occasionally take the time to sit in the sun and allow your clean, wet hair to dry naturally and absorb some extra vitamin D. Yogis recommend shampooing the hair every 72 hours or more frequently if the scalp sweats a great deal. It could also be beneficial to wash your hair after being upset or to help process emotion. And that's definitely true. If you feel like you've been in a situation where you've got some negative energy or vibes going on, it's definitely a good idea to kind of wash your hair and give yourself a spiritual cleaning. And based on washing your hair, everyone's going to be a bit different on that, based on the texture of their hair, based on how much sebum their scalp is, coming out or producing. And also it depends on what you're using on your hair. If you're using certain products, it'll actually strip your hair and then it will try to ferociously produce more sebum. The same thing is true of your face, or it will kind of dry it out. So it's very important to use natural products on your hair. I would recommend, this is what I use myself. This could be different for everyone based, of course, on their hair type and things like that. But I like Kalia, C-A-L-I-A, Kalia. This is a Canadian brand of shampoo. I like that brand. And I also like Living Libations. also Canadian, sea buckthorn shampoo. Those are typically what I use. I find that I can go longer without washing it. If I use the Kalia, I can do like 48 hours. And if I use the Living Libations, I can do about 72 hours. Of course, this will depend on your hair type and your skin type and your diet. So there's a lot of different factors to take in, but those are my two favorite shampoos. For a while, I was kind of stuck. It took me a while to find a really good shampoo because a lot of the quote natural ones at the store, they're not natural. They just pretend to be natural. They have a host of deleterious ingredients. Back to the text, wooden comb. And this is very important. I would suggest everyone have themselves a wide tooth wooden comb. Yogis also recommend using a wooden comb or brush for combing the hair, as it gives a lot of circulation and stimulation to the scalp, and the wood does not create static energy, which causes a loss of the hair's energy to the brain. So only use a wooden comb and a wooden brush. I'm not remembering the name of the comb, the brand of the comb that I have, but I have a wooden brush, and that is made by a company called Tech, T-E-K. That is an Italian company. Back to the text. You will find that if you comb your hair and scalp front to back and back to front and then right and left several times, it will refresh you no matter how long your hair is. And that's true. And the whole idea about brushing your hair 100 times, that just seems to be one of those Zio lies, like doing 100 ab crunches a day. It's much more important to do something in the correct way as opposed to just churning out 100 of something, right? All the tiredness of your day will be gone if you do this technique for combing your coif. For women, it is said that using this technique to comb your hair twice a day can help maintain youth, a healthy menstrual cycle, and good eyesight. And also to maintain all of those things, make sure you eat vitamin A, so make sure you eat some raw liver. If you are bald or balding, this lack of hair energy can be counteracted with more meditation. If you are finding some silver strands in your hair, be aware that the silver or white color increases the vitamins and energy flow to compensate for aging. For better brain health as you age, try to keep your hair as natural and healthy as you can. And oftentimes people see silver or white hairs creep up, sometimes more prematurely than ever. Of course, there are genetics in that. Some people just don't go gray until they're like 80 and or 90 or something like that. But when you see a lot of people now who are going prematurely gray, that is from malnutrition. That is from a high sugar diet, not just sugar, but a diet that is high in sugars, as well as a diet that is devoid of copper and zinc. So the vegetable diet that the enemy promotes is perfect for losing your hair and having it go gray. Okay, here's a bit more in this article. When humans allow their hair to grow, they are welcoming the maturity, the responsibility of being fully grown and fully powerful. This is why you will find grace and calmness in a person with uncut hair from birth, if it is kept well. The Creator has a divine reason for giving you hair. It is said that when you allow your hair to grow to its full length and coil it down the crown of the head, the sun energy, the pranic life force, is drawn down the spine. To counteract that downward movement, the kundalini life energy rises to create balance. In Yogi Bhajan's words, your hair is not there by mistake. It has a definite purpose, which saints will discover and other men will laugh at. Well said right there. And that was the end of one of the articles that I'm going to be orating today for this broadcast. And I like doing broadcasts like this. To be honest with everybody, this is my favorite type of broadcast to do. I will report on what's going on in the Jews media and things like that, but this is the stuff that really matters. I prefer to do broadcasts about real things, spirituality, racialism, beauty, proper diet. This is really where it's at. So just wanted to share this little tiny tidbit in this book that I have. This book is also written by Yogi Bhajan. This is a good book. It tends to promote more of a yogic diet. That's the vegetableist diet, which was infiltrated, of course, as we know, and the Vedic diet, which was raw meat, raw dairy, raw honey. It was a raw animal foods-based diet. Eventually became trickled down into a lacto-vegetarian diet. So most of the food wisdom in this book tends to be of that vegetableist nature, albeit it still has a bunch of delicious recipes and a bunch of really good tips. And I'll say it again, just to clarify, I am not anti-vegetable. I am not anti-fruit. I just think it's ridiculous when people try to base their diet around this, especially when they have to get all these foods shipped in all the time. It doesn't mean that I don't enjoy avocados. I certainly do, but I try to eat at least 50% or more local. And I also make sure that I'm getting bioavailable nutrients from raw animal food, because you're not going to get those if you're a vegetableist, and you will eventually hit a wall depending on how many reserves you have in your system. So here is a little bit from this book. It's called Foods for Health and Healing, Remedies and Recipes. Stay healthy with simple, delicious foods. So here's what this book has to say about hair. And it's a bit on the same vein, because this was written by Yogi Bhajan. This book came out in, let's see what year, 1983. But still, the information's pretty good. Like I said, it tends to have more of a vegetableist feel, but it's still got some good stuff in here. Hair is the antenna of the body. It is the most potent and purest form of protein in the world. The roots have oil, which in protein, rich in protein, and that oil supports brain activity. This is why we have our longest hair on the scalp. Cutting the hair is not advisable, as the hair on the legs and armpits has a purpose too. When it is shaved, the lower spine and the pituitary gland are adversely affected. Considering all this, it is very important to take good care of your hair. Ideally, it should be combed twice daily with a wooden comb. If you brush your hair, then use a natural bristle brush. Static or plastic generates static electricity, I said that earlier, which interferes with the subtle electrical activity of the higher centers of the brain. Actually, it is best to keep the hair tied in a bun on top of the head and then cover it with a cotton cloth. This provides the maximum energy to the higher centers and insulates and protects the hair from the external environment. It also reduces split ends. By wearing it this way, you'll feel more centered and ready to face the day. At night, the hair should be brushed down and braided to prevent tangles. And they give a couple of tips for hair and hair issues. Dandruff is treated in India by massaging a mixture of yogurt and ground sulfur into the scalp. Leave it on for a half hour to an hour and then shampoo it out. Apply weekly for 4 weeks. And oftentimes a skin issue, even if it's something like dandruff, which is not a hair issue, it's a skin issue, that is caused by a gut that is in a state of distress. That is caused by intestinal permeability, or what we call leaky gut. Probably 95% of the population has some degree of this, some worse than others. So any type of skin issue is caused by intestinal permeability. Many people who are vegans have these skin issues because they're eating all these foods that are destroying their gut, and they're too indoctrinated into the religion to understand that or even do anything about it. Also good for hair is chlorophyll and lecithin. And I've talked about lecithin in another broadcast before. I've also talked about lecithin with the pineal gland, the pituitary, and sexual potency. Lecithin rejuvenates the hair and increases growth. And of course, the best source for lecithin would be raw animal foods. Egg yolks are a great source. Chlorophyll is high in essential fatty acids. Chlorophyll is good, but you could also just eat foods that are high in essential fatty acids too. I would not overdose on foods that are rich in chlorophyll, or even things like chlorella and spirulina. Oftentimes those things can turn on autoimmune issues, and they can also cause gut sensitivity. A little bit of chlorophyll is good though. Olive oil and almond oil applied externally are also good for the hair. I tend to favor almond oil. That tends to be the kundalini oil of choice. You could also use ghee too, which has even a richer Vedic history than almond or olive oil. Because, of course, the original Vedic diet was a raw animal foods diet. It was not a vegetarian, or what they're promoting now is a vegan diet. That is a psyop. Okay, now I have another article about hair care. I have a couple of these articles from the Three Ho Foundation. So here is one about yogic hair care, and it shows an amazing picture of four white women with hair that's just unbelievably long. I'm talking like down to like their knees. Beautiful, straight, white hair. Amazing. So here is a quote from Yogi Bhajan. He said this back in 1997. God gave us long hair for a purpose. He gave it to every human because God wants us to crown ourselves, to have all 26 parts of our skull in a situation so the solar polarity of our skull and brain is entitled to our infinite energy. He created us for that. And whatever your definition of God is, of course, I'm not a Christian. This is not a Christian network, but whatever that means for you, go with it. Hair grows on almost all places on the human body, and in the science of yoga, it serves a purpose of drawing energy into each area and protecting it. Caring for your hair is a gift, and a resource is another and a resource is another useful yogic tool for everyday spiritual living. So here's a bit about the functions of hair. It's not just like dead keratin. Like, of course, it doesn't hurt when we cut it. It doesn't hurt us physically, right? But it can hurt us spiritually. I remember one time I got a haircut when I was younger. I brought in a picture of a magazine. I wanted a haircut in this magazine. It was a while ago. I must have been in my teens, 16, 17 years old. And of course, when you cut hair wet, you end up taking more of it off. People who really are in the business of cutting hair correctly, if you are cutting it in general, I don't believe in cutting hair anymore, but if you were going to do it, you're better off cutting it dry than you are wet. So I got this haircut and I ended up with it like almost to my chin. Like, it was the shortest time, the shortest hair I had ever had in my life, not including when I was, you know, small and my hair was growing, of course, but I really didn't feel good. I cried actually after that haircut. And I've heard stories from other women who have cried after like having their hair cut or colored. Another time I got my hair colored. This is when I was experimenting with highlights when I was in my 20s, and I got it colored and I didn't like the way it looked and I cried then too. So hair is really important. It may not physically hurt us when we get it cut or dyed, but if it ends up looking the way that we don't like, it spiritually hurts us. Never forget that. So here are some hair functions. Hair serves several functions for the human being. It maintains the body's electromagnetic field, acting as an antenna for the aura. And I'm thinking about this while I'm reading this. I'm wondering if EMF sensitivity is tied to maybe cutting hair. It could be. Hair is typically abundant where major glands function. For example, eyebrows and under the arms, affecting hormones and the entire electromagnetic body health. A man's beard covers the pronic nerve in the chin controlled by the moon. Without hair, the male nervous system cannot handle this energy, while the female's can. Hair also gathers phosphorus and vitamin D from the sun, concentrates solar energy at the pineal gland when worn in a rishi knot at the top of the head. Note that wearing bangs over the forehead impedes the transmission of light to the pineal gland through the porous bones of the forehead. When kept uncut, the tremendous energy and materials used to build new protein-rich hair instead goes to the brain and other functions of the body. Uncut hair encourages rising of the kundalini energy. And here is a question and answer bit in this article. Question: most kundalini yoga students let their hair grow. Is this necessary? Yogi Bhajan says, no, you cannot practice. You can practice with any length hair. But the hair was the first technique to raise the kundalini energy. When the hair is in its natural full length and coiled over the interior fontanelle for men or the posterior fontanelle for women, it draws pranic energy into the spine. The force of this downward positive energy causes the kundalini energy to rise for balance. Actually, the hair was so important that the word for consciousness, kundalini, derives from the word kundal, which means a coil of the beloved's hair. And here's a bit about caring for one's coif. Yogic treatment of the hair ensures it will optimally serve you and your higher purpose. And here are some tips. Uncut hair collects prana and acts as a filter and a shield. Includes hair all over the body, head, legs, armpits, face, etc. Notice how you feel when your hair reaches its natural length. Yes, this can be a big change and take some time. And of course, it can be take some time. Let's say you just got a haircut before the pandemic hit. Well, it's going to take some time, but oftentimes you have to have patience for things to take time. And people oftentimes do the wrong thing, sometimes subconsciously or unconsciously, for a long time. So it takes a long time to fix that. And I remember reading this story a couple of weeks ago that some guy drove 600 miles during the pandemic to get a haircut. I mean, wowza. Combing with a wooden comb or a natural bristle brush neutralizes the static energy, distributes natural oils, and keeps the hair untangled. Combing the hair down calms and soothes. Combing the hair up energizes and invigorates. Use these effects to your advantage. Comb your hair if you need a pick-me-up or in order to relax. Also, a scalp massage is a really nice way to get a pick-me-up or to relax. In India, they have a tradition of massaging the family's heads. Like, people will oftentimes, they'll all massage each other's heads with like oil and stuff like that. Make a habit of combing your hair for 5 minutes morning and night. Prior to showering, vigorously massage oil. Almond oil is recommended into your hair and scalp. Wrap it with a thick cloth so you don't mess up your clothes. Let sit for an hour or two. and then wash your hair as usual. For an extra treat, mix yogurt and fragrance and a fragrance in with the oil before massaging your hair. And I'll talk a little bit more about making a hair oil a bit after I read this in the broadcast. And the final tip is expose your hair, head, and skull to the sun at least once a week. Those are all good tips, all things that we can do. And now I have another article about yogic hair care. And here we go. Your hair is your crowning glory as a woman, vital to the pituitary gland and the entire endocrine or hormonal system, including the ovaries. The lining and arrangement of the hair on the head is a psychological facet that determines the action and reaction of the pituitary. It can change a woman's entire life if she puts her hair up on her solar center during the day, combs it with a wooden comb, and wears it down in a braid at night. Under most circumstances, the hair should be covered. 2/3 of the world's population keeps their hair covered in some form or another. Just because they no longer know why doesn't mean you have to remain in the dark. Covering the hair is a grace of God. If you muscle test someone, they will always be stronger when the crown of their hair is covered, even if it's something as flimsy as a napkin. Imagine the effects of consciously wrapping the hair and covering the crown. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking of the Orthodox Jewish community. I'm thinking of Hasidic women who, once they get married, they have to shave their head and then wear a wig. So think about what I just read right there and so far in this broadcast, and then think about what I just said about Hasidic women having to shave their head, and also think about this BLM PSYOP where our women are being advised to shave their head to, quote, fight racism. Hair is the only instrument which directly provides vitamin D from the sun to the brain. The brain needs more vitamin D than any other organ in the body. This is oftentimes why people who eat the vegetableless diet, or even the SAD diet, it's most people, it's not just vegetableless. Vegetableless is just the orthodox example of what I'm talking about, the most extreme. So if you're not getting any vitamin D in your body, you're going to go mentally ill. Look at the way most people act. They're completely unhinged. They have no calmness in the way they speak. They have no calmness in the way they act. You can tell when someone is deficient, or at least I can. I can call someone, not to physically call someone on the phone, but I can tell exactly what someone's eating and what they're not eating based on their behavior and based on their affect. Hair should be washed every 72 hours because the scalp secretions can irritate a woman's nervous system. The hair should never be combed while wet. This stretches the hair shaft and causes breakage. Instead, let the hair dry naturally in the sun if possible, and then brush the hair. Throw your blow dryer if you have one in the garbage. That is a waste of time. You're also having all that electromagnetic energy near your hair. People also go deaf from using those, so just throw it in the garbage. Regular oiling of the scalp and hair with almond oil mixed with sandalwood is very healing for the hair. Sandalwood is a beautiful, sensual smell, very, very intoxicating, amazing bouquet. Also, yogurt massage into the scalp, and I mean yogurt. I mean real yogurt, not some fake vegan yogurt. Forget about that. Yogurt massage into the scalp and allowed to rest for half an hour, then washed out, can leave the scalp and the hair silky and strong, and this is good stuff. I think I've tried this before. For the normal health of the eyes, the menstrual cycle, and the long maintenance of your youth, it is obligatory to use a wooden comb. Comb the hair up, forward, back, down, and so on. This is circulation and stimulation of the scalp. The wooden comb acts to stabilize the magnetic field and prevents breakage of the ends of the hair shaft. A firm, natural bristle brush is also recommended to stimulate the scalp without harming the hair. Shaving the hair on the body adversely affects the magnetic field and sympathetic nervous system. By shaving the hair on the legs, the electromagnetic field in the lower spine is altered. And like I said, I am not shaving, so I do shave my legs. Probably if you're listening to this now and you're a lady, chances are you do the same thing too. The only time I never shaved my legs was before the first time I ever shaved them. Is this something that I would think about possibly doing in the future? I'm open to it. It's not something that I'm looking to explore right now, but I'm not closed off to the idea. But look how they've always made it seem like, oh, that person doesn't shave. She's a dyke. She's a lesbian. Like, look at how they've always done that in the culture. I mean, chances are the people who do, it's weird. The people who shave their heads into like a buzz cut are the ones who aren't shaving their underarms or their legs. Of course, that's a personal preference. If you're blonde or if you've got light hair, it's probably a bit different than someone who has darker hair. Oftentimes the hair that's on the hormonal areas of the body, like the legs, the underarms, and the genitals, tends to be darker than the hair on one's head. That's why there's always that expression, does the carpet match the curtains? Most of the time it doesn't, unless someone's dyeing the carpet, essentially, or wearing a merkin. And a merkin was a pubic wig that was popular many years ago when people used to get things like pubic lice or crabs, and it wasn't fashionable to be shaved down there, so they used to wear a merkin. This is a real thing. I'm not just trying to make a joke right now, but it is funny, so feel free to laugh. So that was all I had to say about the yogic connection with hair, some interesting history right there, some wonderful tips for one's hair, and very important to understand the power of hair, the beauty of hair, and the spirituality of hair, and how this works into what is going on currently with this hair psyop. So now a bit more about hair. I have a folder that I keep about beauty, and I want to talk a little bit about how to grow hair and a hair oil for the ladies. So here's how to grow long hair. I haven't tried this recipe in all honesty yet, but I'm going to present it to you. Maybe you'd like to try this. Maybe you're in the process of growing your hair. This will also condition your hair and just make it super nice, even if you're not actively growing it. So for this recipe, you would need a tablespoon of coconut oil, a tablespoon of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of honey, and 1 egg. And of course, I would think that you could possibly even substitute some of the coconut oil or the olive oil, maybe with ghee or with almond oil if you fancied. And of course, try to get the best quality here. Get yourself pastured eggs, raw honey, raw olive oil, and raw coconut oil. You can even get yourself fermented coconut oil. So here is the recipe. Okay, in a medium bowl, combine all the ingredients, making sure to beat the egg well. This is the whole egg. This is the white as well as the yolk. Apply the entire mixture to the hair, starting from the roots to ends. Massage the mask into hair gently in a slow circular motion. This will get the blood flowing and encourage faster hair growth. Leave the mask on for as long as you like, but the longer the better. Leave the mask on for at least 30 minutes. And sometimes what I do when I do these like mask things, and I do a hair mask, like I've always kind of done that. I've never really gone to the salon, or I call it the saloon sometimes, for this type of stuff, because I could never trust what they were putting in it. And plus, I didn't want to spend my money on something like that, you know, for what? I really only went, when I was getting my haircut, I was the type of person that got my haircut twice a year, if that, not even. But what I was going to say is sometimes I would put on a shower cap, and then it would kind of like let everything kind of warm up and get like really deep into the hair. Of course, you wouldn't want to use this shower cap for days when you were going to, you know, just not wash your hair, unless, of course, you rinsed it out very, very well. But feel free to put like a shower cap on top of your head when you do this. And they're saying in this article that they left it on overnight and rinsed it off and washed in the morning. And I should also add that you want to use kind of a cool or a cool-ish water when you're rinsing this out. You do not want to have the heat on full blast. That's not good anyway when you're showering, because that's not good for your skin or your hair. It just will dry you out. But you don't want to end up with like little bits of like cooked egg in your hair. So just a heads up there. But there are many wonderful ways that are affordable and fun that can be done at home that you can take care of yourself with and not have to fund, you know, all these industries out there. And hey, what better time to do it, especially if you live in a state now that's still under lockdown where you can't even do these things. Do it yourself. If anything, this whole time of being, quote, locked down should have taught people how to be more self-sufficient, how to cook for themselves, how to work out at home, how to find out what's really going on in this world, as opposed to loafing around, watching the Talmud Vision, watching the Netflix, going on the Pornhub, eating takeaway. I mean, improve yourself, optimize yourself. That's what it's all about. Okay, enough of that. And then I have, what's this? Let's see. Here we go. An Ayurvedic hair oil for women. And I got this recipe directly from an Ayurvedic practitioner when I went to a Kundalini retreat many years back. It was a Dravidian fellow. And he was very well versed in Ayurveda and things like that. And this is a great recipe. And this recipe, I don't have exact measurements for the thing. So this is just kind of to use it as you will. And of course, certain essential oils have, you know, they're stronger than others. Like, let's say, for example, it's kind of like spices, like cardamom essential oil. You'll need less of that than you will something like, let's say, lemon or something like that, just because certain things just have a stronger essence. Like when you cook, you'd use less cardamom than you would, let's say, cinnamon in cookies, because cardamom or nutmeg is just a more concentrated spice. So just make this based on your own whim. Use your nose to smell things. The best way to blend stuff sometimes is just using your own inclination of what works for you. So this oil is using sesame oil, which is a traditional Ayurvedic oil. I like the Napa Valley brand of sesame oil. That's a good one. And then you use rosemary oil. Rosemary is very stimulating to the scalp, so it's very invigorating. It's got a great smell too, very Mediterranean smelling. Then you use what's called jasmine or samba oil. Jasmine is beautiful. It's very feminine. It's very floral, very exotic and sensual. Then you use turmeric oil, which may not be the most familiar essential oil for a lot of people. They're probably mostly familiar with the rhizome or the root, just like they are ginger or galangal and stuff like this. But you can get turmeric oil, and it's not turmeric, it's turmeric. It's T-U-R, it's not T-U. So you get some turmeric oil, which is also just nice for circulation and stuff like that. It's a root too, so it gives you that grounding root energy. And then juniper oil, which is really, really beautiful. It's the smell of gin. Whenever I smell juniper oil, I just think of Tanqueray. I think of Tanqueray gin. Juniper used to be a lot more prevalent in our cookery many centuries ago. People used to use juniper in meats and roasts and things like that. Some recipes still survive that have juniper in them. Juniper is great for stimulation, for circulation. It's oftentimes used in cellulite oils as well. So you take this mixture, sesame oil, rosemary oil, jasmine oil, turmeric oil, and juniper, mix it all together, and then you apply this to the hairline, the sides, and the underside of the hair, massaging it all in very evenly and very nicely. And then you can just leave this in your hair and keep your hair up for a while, however, whatever you're doing, depending on what you're doing and whatever else. You can just kind of, you know, do your own thing if you're chilling at home or whatever. And then you can just wash it out whenever you fancy. And oftentimes I've found that I kind of need to do like a double shampoo when I do that, as opposed to just doing one shampoo. So I'll do like a double shampoo to kind of get out more of the oil, but your hair will just feel really, really good. And this is way better than any type of hair oil treatment you can buy in the store. And then I wanted to give out some of my hair tips that I've collected myself based on my own research. And my research is not just sitting in front of the computer. It's also empirical. I try these things out myself. So the first tip is what I just gave you guys, scalp massage with the Ayurvedic oil. And you can make yourself a bunch of this oil at once. You don't just have to make it for the time you're doing it. So last time I made this oil, I made myself a bunch of it. I kept it in a little glass jar. And then next time I wanted to, you know, use it on my hair, I just used it. Another important tip, no alcohol in products. Do not use hair products, whether they be shampoo or conditioner, with alcohol in them, or styling products. This goes for skin creams as well. If you see cetyl alcohol or any type of alcohol on the product label, do not use it. It will dry out your skin or your hair, and then you'll have to buy more products to moisturize yourself. It's so mind-boggling how many deep conditioners, which is supposed to like deeply condition your hair, the first two ingredients are water and cetyl alcohol. How is water and cetyl alcohol going to moisturize anything? It's a hoax. Another good tip is to have a silk pillowcase. This is also good for your face to sleep on a silk pillowcase. I can't find mine right now, but I was doing that for a while. Real silk, not fake silk. You can get one pretty moderately priced depending on where you look, but that is a good tip for keeping your hair nice and smooth. And sometimes based on how people sleep, they can get like those kind of like sleep wrinkles on their face. So this is good for your facial skin as well as your hair. Only shampooing the scalp. This is something good too. You don't need to shampoo all of your hair. You only need to shampoo the scalp, right? Because that's where it gets oily, where it needs cleansing is the scalp. So that's a good tip to do, is to only shampoo the scalp and then just let it kind of trickle down the ends. And also, you really only want to condition the ends. You don't want to condition the top of the hair, because then it's just going to get greasy and limp, especially if you have fine, straight hair. And the last tip is to brush hair before you shampoo or to comb it. I always do that. Of course, make sure you have a wooden comb and a wooden brush. And to get yourself this whole hair setup, it's probably not going to cost you that much money, and it'll streamline everything that you're doing. getting rid of all your plastic tools, getting rid of all these toxic styling equipment, hairspray, mousse. What the hell is that all about? I never got that. I never understood people who actually like styled their hair, especially guys. People's hair is just stiff with all this crap. It's so mind-boggling. The programming is so deep. It's so effective and it affects us in so many realms. Okay, that's all I had to say about hair for this broadcast. Let me just double check my notes to make sure I'm on point with that. Yep. Okay. Looks like this is everything that I have right here for the hair tidbit. Yep. Okay. So now to close out this tidbit, I want to talk a little bit about malnutrition and how this relates to our face and how people's faces age. And to me, it seems like people are aging a lot more quickly now than they were many years ago. But we live in a culture where everyone has kind of like a neotenous feel. Like there could be an outfit that could be marketed to a 9-year-old as well as like a 69-year-old. There used to be back in the day that, you know, a child would dress the way a child dresses and, you know, an older lady or an older adult would dress the way an older adult dresses. So we kind of have this neotenous arrested development thing going on in the culture, which is really very much part of the psyop, because they want us all to be emotional babies and kind of like respond to all these things like as an emotional trigger, like a button being pressed. But people look like hell, honestly. A lot of people look like hell because they're utterly malnourished. They're being fed all this hoax, these hollow hoaxes of a sad diet, a vegetableless diet, all this stuff, which is just a load of crud. It's completely deleterious to health, physical, emotional, spiritual, physical, in every realm possible. And then they're peddling all these, quote, beauty treatments that are really just plastic surgery, which we know somebody or who hides behind that with crypsis. They have to get rhinoplasties and stuff like that to pass, right? And also it just creates this environment where people who are like 18, real young people, are actually getting what I call plastic surgery light, like getting these injectables and things like that in their face, plastic surgery, breast implants, booty implants, liposuction, and all of this is because of improper diet, hormonal malfunction. This is not normal, but it's not going away. So I want to read a bit about this article about how we can counteract that and kind of get more into a place where we eat better. So the article goes to say, are you suffering from midlife malnutrition? How your face reveals the nutrients your body really needs. And I saw something the other day on Twitter, speaking of malnutrition, this was just mind-boggling. I saw that there's a hashtag that was trending called vaccines work. Of course, some people were promoting vaccination. Some were using the hashtag to say that they didn't work, but they were still using it, I guess, to catch, you know, hashtags and things like that. But now the WHO, or the Jew, actually has the chutzpah to be telling us that vaccination prevents malnutrition. I mean, unless they're injecting synthetic vitamins into you, I mean, still, that doesn't really, it doesn't cut it, because they're never going to respond the same way. And they always try to hoax people out. Let's say, for example, with vitamin A, oh, if you take too much vitamin A, it's toxic for you. That's because those studies were done on synthetic vitamins. It wasn't done with people eating raw liver. Where are you ever going to find a tribe that's overdosed on vitamin A eating raw liver? You're not going to find it. But here in Zog civilization, you will find people who have OD'd on certain vitamins because they're synthetic. And this is all part of the enemy's plan, essentially. Malnutrition. That was just amazing. And it makes me think of, this is kind of a trend. I talked about this one time before. I've never done this. I actually dabbled in the possibility of doing this a while back, but I am glad that I never did this. It's costly and it's really bad for you. But this is something that's been popular, I guess, kind of more in the coastal areas for a while. And this is that thing of vitamin or IV drips. Oftentimes people will have an IV drip come to like their hotel room. They would have gotten themselves shit-faced the evening before, and they're all hungover, they're all dehydrated, and they have a truck come up, and someone who's, you know, trained in phlebotomy, someone who can, or do needles and, you know, something like that, that they can actually administer like an IV to you. They will come into your room, come into your house, whatever, and they will give you an IV for vitamin C or what they call like a Myers cocktail, which I think was like vitamin C, B12. Let me just make sure I quote what a Myers cocktail is first so I don't give out disinfo. But this is a very foul idea. You get a ample amount of synthetic vitamins intravenously into the system, which is really bad for you. What is in a Myers cocktail? Okay. Magnesium, calcium, B vitamins, often including B12 and vitamin C, is given by a slow IV or a slow infusion to achieve concentration of nutrients that are not obtainable with oral administration. How different is this than someone doing heroin, or how different is this than the vegetabilists who do the injectable B12? How different is this than people who take anabolic steroids or HGH? I mean, they're all drug addicts at the end of the day. However you slice it, I don't give a shit. They're all addicts. But this is just disgusting stuff. This will not help you. If you want to get these nutrients into your system, you have to be eating real food. That's it. So enough of that little tangent right there in regards to IV drips. But here is a wee bit about malnourishment and how this can make people's faces suffer. Malnourishment is not something we associate with our 21st century lifestyles. Well, we typically don't, but more people than you would ever believe are terribly malnourished. And plenty of these people are, quote, affluent, right? Or, you know, they're not like hobos, they're not bums, they're not people living in third world countries. They're just regular people, whether they be lower, middle, or upper class. You could be real upper class and still be miserably malnourished. Problem is that menopause puts the body under more strain than we appreciate. Well, a lot of these changes in people's lives put people under more strain. If you're not nutritionally sufficient, you will experience more turbulence. To cope with it well, women need to be in tip-top condition. Every human needs to be in tip-top condition. But few women reach their mid-40s in a nutritionally good place, and that is very much true, especially if they've had multiple births and they haven't replenished themselves after that and didn't eat right during that, or if they've had a history with any type of dysfunctional eating disorder, etc., extreme dieting. Chances are most people are malnourished, just like most people have intestinal permeability or leaky gut. So here is this article. Surrounded by her loved ones, having just exchanged marriage vows with the man she adored, it should have been one of the happiest days for Allison Madison. But amid the popping champagne corks and the warm wishes of her guests, Allison couldn't shake a thought from her head. When would her wedding day end so she could go back to bed? Allison, then 49, had been suffering with exhaustion and aching joints in the run-up to this, her second marriage. Presuming a virus must be to blame, she waited for it to pass, but things only got worse. And I have news for you. It's not a virus, but you probably knew that already. By her 50th birthday, mood swings, brain fog, memory loss, joint pain, hot flushes, depression, and anxiety dominated her life. I was miserable, she said. My husband couldn't understand what had happened to the vibrant woman he'd proposed to, who had all but disappeared since the weeks before our marriage. How your face reveals what your body needs. If you want to work out or which nutrients your diet is deficient in, it's easy as looking in the mirror. Most vitamin deficiencies will affect your face first, as the skin is so delicate here. And I should also point this out. This whole culture of being thin, being really, really thin, this whole pro-ana or pro-anorexia or thinspiration culture, the thigh gap culture. A lot of those thigh gap people are either anorexics or they're trannies. Most women don't have that thigh gap. It's not attractive. Men lusting after that are either homosexual or turned on by anorexia, which is very dysfunctional unto itself. But this is an easy way to tell if someone is not nourished, if they're buying into this whole Zio Jew culture of, oh, you have to be so thin, and people actually praising being skinny. In no way am I promoting overweightness or obesity or any of those land whales that are in the body positivity movement. That's another type of dysfunction, but oftentimes they show, especially via Hollyweird and the Jews media, they're showing women, or what we think to be women, they could even be dudes, who knows? They have tons of plastic surgery anyway. They're showing these bodies that are super skinny that are not attainable to people because these people have disorders. They're not healthy. And when you're promoting a body that lean, you really can't keep your face looking good if your body weight is so under. And then what do these celebrities do, or these people in regular life? They end up buying all these expensive lotions and potions and cream. They're probably eating a really shitty diet. They end up getting plastic surgery, shooting their face up with all these things when they could be eating a natural human diet, right? Being healthy and not being obsessed with this insane thin culture. I mean, the body that they promote is, it's another Jewish dialectic. Be a rail, be a twig, be a stick, or be a land whale, as opposed to just being a natural woman. A natural woman's body is curvy. That's the way a woman is supposed to look. I mean, people now are going out of their way to get the booty implants, to get the boob implants, but they're like stick figures. If they were only to eat their natural human diet, their breasts and their butt would actually like grow. And this is the truth. I'm not making this up. If you're hormonally balanced and you're eating your natural diet, you have no need to get breast implants. You have no need to get ass implants. You have no need to get liposuction. And your face is going to look a lot fuller, a lot better, a lot more pretty, and you're going to have calm, even energy, as opposed to doing all these ridiculous like Zio cheats. Let me starve myself. Let me pump my face with all this crap. Let me put all this makeup on myself. Let me dye my hair, right? Let me get veneers. Let me get hair extensions, fake nails. Like, you're just a Zio slave when you're doing all of that stuff. If you were to practice things in a natural way and allow your natural beauty to shine through, you wouldn't need to do any of this stuff. So please, for women who are listening, drop that I have to be super thin thing, because that's not healthy. And most men out there would prefer a woman who is a bit fuller than someone who was just a rail. And like I said, in no way am I supporting any of that body positivity of those people who are obese. I mean, that's a huge problem. Those people have serious medical problems and just serious eating disorders. But this whole thin culture of people being thin, thin, thin has got to go. That is not natural. That is not normal. And they've been fixing this whole thing probably. They started with the 20s with the flapper body, which was very much a boyish body, but it went through a renaissance probably with Twiggy in the, you know, the mod times in the 60s. And ever since the whole internet social media culture has really gotten big, they're making people very much feel like they have to look a certain way. Also keep in mind that those pictures are airbrushed. You never know what somebody looks like before they airbrush their pictures. I mean, they could look completely and totally different. So don't fall into that trap of needing to be rail thin. It's just a Jewish hoax. So here is a bit about how your face reveals what your body needs. And here they show a picture of a lady. She's attractive. She's probably about, I don't know, mid-50s or so. And they have little areas on the face where they show what could be the issue. So let's start out with crow's feet. So crow's feet are a deficiency of vitamin B2. This affects eyes and skin health, and deficiency can cause skin to crack. And they're saying the solution is cheese, almonds, and eggs are all good sources of B2. Of course, organ meats are good sources of B2. I think spleen is a good source of B2. I just got myself some spleen the other day. I'm fixing to try it. I'm looking forward to it. And just red meat in general. And this article, of course, is a bit kosher. They're not going to be telling you to eat that type of stuff, so I'm going to interject this with my own knowledge. Cracked lips. The causes can be a lack of B6, which plays a role in how elastic the skin is. And they're saying the solution is potatoes and fortified cereals high in B6. Fortified cereals, a definite not. Potatoes are okay. Don't eat the skin. That's not good for you. And it's not the only thing. If you want B6, you can get that from red meats and organ meats and things like that. Red skin. That's from inflammation, but also from zinc deficiency, and this can also cause acne. That could also be from a leaky gut. They're saying the good things to eat is yogurt, grass-fed beef, and chickpeas are all rich sources of this mood-boosting vitamin. Of course, the zinc in chickpeas is not nearly as available as the zinc in yogurt and grass-fed beef. You could also get this from polyrachis ant, which is typically taken in kind of a supplement form, but it is a whole food. The next concern, dry skin, not enough vitamin A. This vitamin, also called retinol, is key for making skin springy and youthful. And most people, whether they're eating a SAD diet, a vegetableless diet, a paleo diet, keto. I don't care what your diet is, you're probably deficient in vitamin A. The solution is liver, especially raw liver. That is the best source of vitamin A. You could also get it from egg yolks and grass-fed butter. They're also saying sweet potatoes. Of course, the vitamin A in sweet potatoes is not the same type. Same thing with carrot. And cheese is also good as well. Dandruff. Dandruff is a lack of the mineral biotin. This helps keep us young. Attractive appearance, since it makes a major part in maintaining the health of our hair, skin, and nails. And the solution is to eat eggs. They're saying whole grains. Of course, many of those have to be properly prepared, as well as milk are good sources of biotin. And be advised that if you're just eating egg yolks, that is really bad. That will actually cause hair loss to occur, like a lot of these bodybuilding diets promote. It'll also pull biotin and vitamin A from your liver. It'll also make you insane because it will pull cholesterol from your liver as well. Thinning hair, lack of biotin and vitamin C, which helps hair health. And that solution can be mitigated or remedied via citrus fruit, such as oranges and lemons. There's also a lot of vitamin C in the organ meats, which oftentimes is not mentioned. And also, if someone's having thinning hair, it could just be hormonal issues in general. So you can't just slap on some vitamin C and think everything's going to be cream cheese. I was suddenly felt dizzy for no apparent reason. Some part of me always hurt, and I was terrified this was the beginning of what the rest of my life had in store. Sounds like typical malnutrition or malnourishment symptoms. I was even losing my looks. My nails kept splitting, my skin was rough and pimply, and my hair was dry and dull. My first thought of the day was, how long until bedtime? Many will recognize here as a woman in the grip of the very worst symptoms of menopause. This is malnutrition, but it was one part of Allison's story. Because what was wreaking by far the greatest havoc on her health was a condition which I believe, as a women's health specialist, is affecting an increasing number of women. And they're saying it's middle-aged. I don't like to use any of this Zio language of middle-aged. The actual correct life expectancy for humans is around 150. So 75 would be middle age. It wouldn't be like, 50. Chronic malnutrition is the issue. It's not so much the menopause, it's the chronic malnutrition. Many will scoff at this very notion. Malnourishment is not something we associate with our pampered 21st century lifestyles. Well, get off your high horse. How could the body of a well-to-do practice nurse from North Cornwall possibly have become so nutritionally challenged to make her this depressed and ill? Especially considering Allison's diet, which, as the case of most of us, was less than perfect but contained reasonable amounts of fruit, salad, and vegetables. Well, there was a time when I thought those foods were really, really, really good for me, but I woke up and became an adult. The problem is that menopause puts the body under more strain than we appreciate. Well, that's true of any of these intense moments that a woman has in her life. A woman goes through a lot more of, I'd say, nutritional journeys based on the fact that our bodies create life than men. So we really need to be very, very careful with how much we take in. Plus, because of all this fat-phobic culture of fat making us fat and all this diet culture that's mostly marketed to us women, of course, now to the men too via bodybuilding and stuff like that, we really have to make it our business to take care of ourselves the very best we can and ignore and eschew what the Zio media is telling us. To cope with it well, women need to be in tip-top condition with nutritional levels at their optimum. But few women reach their mid-40s in a nutritionally good place. Published studies conducted by my own team of nurses and nutritionists have discovered that by the end of their childbearing years, up to 80% of women have inadequate levels of magnesium. Most people are magnesium deficient, especially if they've had a history of drug use or eating disorder. Many are also low in iron, zinc, calcium, vitamin D, and essential fatty acids. And unless those levels are topped up, they will only deteriorate as the strain of the aging process puts on the body increases. I believe Allison's problems are just the tip of the iceberg. She's one of millions of people who hit midlife, or what they're saying is midlife, nutritionally deprived and unable to cope. Throughout her work as a nurse, she knows all about healthy eating. Well, oftentimes when people go to get an allopathic degree, whether it be in nursing or a doctorate or a doctor, an MD, they only get like an hour or two or like a day of nutrition. So they don't really know anything. It was part of my job to advise people on diet, but it's not always so easy to practice what you preach when you're permanently rushed off your feet. Like so many women of her age, she is now 58, repeatedly puts her own nutritional needs last. She has raised a family alongside a challenging career and has cared for elderly patients. Always put yourself first. The best and easiest way to help others is to help yourself first. Inevitably, over the years, many meals were replaced with something sweet or stodgy grabbed on the run. When women are busy, the quality of food they eat is often the first casualty. And for far too many, eating on the hoof becomes a way of life. And I'm assuming that's some type of British expression for eating on the run. I kind of like that, eating on the hoof. That's cool. The government's latest national diet and nutrition survey found that 27% of women have low iron stores and a fifth have low levels of vitamin D. Well, they've been marketed for a long time that red meat is so bad. And of course, when you bleed, when you have a menstrual cycle, you're taking or you're pushing, losing blood out of your body. When I first started to become acquainted with my natural diet, I remember having this craving, especially when I was menstruating, when I was on my moon cycle. I'm like, I got to get some meats into my system and I need red meat. I need that blood to rebuild the blood I just lost. Makes common sense. Oily fish consumption, meanwhile, is well below the recommended one portion per week, and only 28% get their five a day. And of course, since this article is kosher, they're only going to tell you, oh, just eat fish. That's the only animal food you need to eat. But you know how it goes. With menopausal women, however, the problem is made worse as their bodies, with their fluctuating hormone levels, struggle to absorb and store nutrients from the healthy food they do find the time to eat. The upshot, women like Allison hit menopause with a body so nutritionally deprived it starts to crumble. When Allison came to me a year ago, her husband was struggling to cope with the mood swings and she had to give up her job and she was chronically fatigued. She felt so ill and she thought everything was out of control. She was tired and in pain. Combined with mood swings and anxiety, it had put her in a very dark place. And she would snap at her husband to become irritable over the very littlest thing. He took the brunt of it and couldn't understand why I could be so perfectly pleasant with other people. When we were alone, I was miserable. I suppose he felt I was storing it all up for him, and I think that's very much what I did. Unsurprisingly, he took it very personally and things were strained between us. Over the past 30 years, through my work as a nutritionist and a pioneer in the field of treating illness without drugs, I have helped tens of thousands of women whose health problems could be fully corrected without medication, but a simple, sustainable eating program. Some came to me suffering from night sweats that made sleep impossible and joint pain that made them feel old before their time. A dental nurse had told me she had quit work after 35 years because she started dripping sweat onto her patients. Others talk about stripping off when they get home because their clothes are drenched. A post-mistress I treated had finger joints so swollen she couldn't hold a pen. Then you get women whose moods become so confused and erratic they are genuinely terrified they might be developing early onset dementia. Yet once they address their malnourishment through diet and supplements, and of course I would really only recommend animal-based supplements and an animal-based diet, of course, these symptoms can almost always be completely reversed. Memory loss, such a common complaint during menopause because the estrogen receptors in the brain are affected by fluctuating hormone levels, is exacerbated by low blood sugar due to eating in irregular patterns. And I'll interject here, this is not just for people who are going through the change in their life. This is for everybody. Everybody can deal with malnutrition, whether you're older or younger, men as well. Just oftentimes with women during this time of their life, it tends to kind of be the most obvious, let's say. But this is for everyone to realize that if you're eating the wrong diet, you're making yourself insulin resistant, you're malnourished, it's eventually going to show. Older women need magnesium to help with normal hormone function. Low levels exacerbate menopausal symptoms and will make your body feel tired and sluggish. Everybody needs magnesium. I recommend a spray magnesium after the shower. If you take it orally, it can really give you a turbulent type of digestion where you'll have to run to the loo. Yet up to 80% of women who enter menopause are lacking the essential nutrient, magnesium, and are telling you it's found in almonds, Brazil nuts, and soya products. Don't eat soy. Nuts, I wouldn't really make a cornerstone of my diet. You're better off, like I said, just spraying it on and getting it via animal foods. Calcium is vital for healthy bones and nerve function, whilst zinc, found in meat and eggs and nuts, is vital for healthy immune system. Low levels of iron can cause extreme tiredness. Yes. Meanwhile, if your levels of vitamin D are found in fortified cereals, forget about that. Get vitamin D from the sun and get it from raw animal foods. The levels of B vitamins and essential fatty acids will leave you feeling tired and low mood. Like having a bank account that is constantly in the red from what you repeatedly take out more than you put in, over time you're going to bust. And since a lot of people now, in their younger years, are experimenting with these extreme, unnatural diets such as vegetableism, they're going to hit these walls that someone typically would hit maybe like once they go through the change, like when they're in their 50s or something, right? But because so many people have become malnourished via these ridiculous diets that are religions, because they've had eating disorders, because they've been drug addicts, people are hitting the wall a lot sooner than they would traditionally. Satisfying the body's nutritional needs, even when you do eat well, becomes like trying to fill a bucket with a hole at the bottom. So how do you identify nutritional deficiencies in the first place? The human body is good at telling us what is going wrong inside by the symptoms it creates. I always like to say a symptom is a text message. Your body is sending you a text message, right? It's not a text message you can technically read, like you would actually look at it and say, oh, okay, I get what's going on, but it's a message. So anything that you're experiencing, any symptom, and check in with yourself. Ask yourself, how am I feeling today? What hurts? What bothers me, right? Because how are you ever going to fix these things if you don't check in with yourself and have that awareness or intuition? You probably won't. So for Allison, her hot flushes and the night sweats indicated she was short on magnesium, calcium, and vitamin D, as well as estrogen. Her depression, irritability, and exhaustion suggested low levels of essential fatty acids and vitamin B. Those split nails, cracks at the corners of her mouth, and rough, pimply skin on her arms and legs told me she was deprived of iron, B vitamins, and essential fatty acids. She needed to boost the amount of isoflavin-rich foods, which contain naturally occurring estrogen in her diet by eating soy and flax. That's 100% a no right there. There are other ways to do that. Do not do that. You're better off just eating whole raw animal foods. You can have, you know, some milks and some stuff like that. Flax will also give you bruising. Not a good food to eat. Nobody should be eating flax. Give all your flax to your chickens. It's absolute shit. And only eat soy in small amounts if it's fermented. But if you have any type of hormonal issues, don't eat it at all. She also needed to reduce the foods that were blocking the absorption of essential vitamins and minerals, such as tea, red wine, and sugary snacks, of course, because there's tannins, oxalic acids, and all different types of stuff in that. And no one should be eating sugar, but you know that already. But in the short term, as the case for most people, dietary improvements alone aren't enough. To get her nutritional levels up, I recommended some key supplements. I wouldn't recommend the supplements they're saying, red clover and St. John's wort. Just eat whole foods. Just eat whole foods. This just shows how kosher this article is. They're telling you stuff and it, you know, it's good. Of course, I'm having to filter through it using my filter, but a lot of the stuff that they're saying isn't really good. And I'm not anti-herb. Just understand that herbs are very, very strong medicine. View herbs the same way that you would view a pharmaceutical, because the base of all pharmaceuticals is herb. So don't just think, oh, I'll just take it with abandon. I used to be like that. Don't be like that. It's not something you can just kind of take and think is benign. Remember that these are medicines, okay? These are plant medicines. 6 weeks into the program, I felt like a human again. I began to look and feel better. My hair was starting to shine and my skin was glowing and people were telling me how good I looked. It was incredible to feel like I was coming back to life. After 6 months, the night sweats and the hot flushes stopped completely and I was sleeping really well. Now my brain feels sharp and focused again, but best of all, I've got my energy and my enthusiasm back for life. I no longer feel anxious and depressed, and my relationship with my husband is back on track. And they go into, let's see, there's a lot here. How much more am I going to read this just to kind of, they talk about another gal who is 51, who was also dealing with some malnutrition. She was having panic attacks. She didn't feel safe driving. She was short-tempered. She was in a very much a self-destruct mode. She was eating oodles of chocolate and drinking lots of caffeines via coffee and tea. All the sugar consumption depleted her mineral stores, and the caffeine was stoking the fires of the hot flushes and the night sweats. She also suffered crippling panic attacks and migraines. In just 6 weeks of good quality magnesium-rich vitamins and mineral supplements, along with a nutrient-dense diet, she was back to track on health. By breaking the body's cycle of poor eating and making the time to invest herself and put her body's needs first, she was able to correct 18 months of neglect. Amazing. See the power of what you can do on your own if you're tapped into it. A lot of people, you know, they'll keep tabs on how much money they have on the bank, but they won't keep tabs of how their body feels. So they also mentioned like how people will just skip breakfast, just have, you know, binge on tea and chocolate and sweets, then have coffees and biscuits for mid-afternoon. Of course, that's more of a British habit to have coffee and biscuits. I mean, here we call it coffee and tea, but people do this type of stuff to themselves and it's not good. And she was just eating lean meat and salad, which is not a good look right there. So yeah, like I was saying earlier about red wine and tea, they both contain tannins, which impede the absorption of essential nutrients such as iron, calcium, zinc, and magnesium, making them less available for the body. So if someone's already eating a shit diet and they're malnourished and they're taking in all these caffeines and stuff like that, it's just going to get way worse. Caffeine is not a health food. Contrary to what we've been told via the Zio media, it's not. And oftentimes you'll see a lot of people who are vegetableists. The only way they can get their energy is from sugar and caffeine, and that shows that they're broken. And they're not going to admit it. I'll say it here, but that's what the situation is. So that's pretty much what I have to say about that article. Like I said, this is not just for ladies who are approaching the change or who are, you know, in the change or who have gone past the change. This is for everybody. This is just an example of how it would be mostly magnified during this time in a woman's life, but it's not just applicable to women who are in this phase of their life. It's also applicable to women in general and men in general. And oftentimes the media likes to poke fun at this time in a woman's life with all these types of grotesque memes. I mean, forget about all that type of stuff. I'm not at this point in my life, obviously, but this should be a time in your life where you're engaged in a sacred transition. You're going from the maiden phase past the mother phase to the crone phase. And that should be something that should be taken with sacred honor, with wisdom, not wisdom, like the enemy Zio Media likes to make us feel. So the best way to really be healthy, besides taking care of yourself from a nutritional perspective, keeping your hair nice, is to not buy any of the lies that they put out there. And they target us, especially women. They target us more than men because so much of our worth is oftentimes tied into our beauty and how we look. But the best way to really feel good, to really feel beautiful, is to eschew all that crud that they're putting out there, that they're spewing out there, trying to make you feel bad, wasting your money, wasting your time, wasting your energy. Just get back to basics, get back to nature, and realize that you're perfect the way you are, and that you're a work in progress. We all are, no matter how old we are, where we are in the world, and we have the power to change ourselves as well as this world. So I'll leave it at that for the broadcast for today. I hope that was good stuff for you. I hope you're having a good day, no matter where you are in the world. And I will catch everyone on the next edition of White Wellness. Okay, goodbye, everybody.